Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Yallon. Of course, coming up on Tuesday, August 7th, is the primary here in Michigan, and a number of races are going to be decided, so people will be able to choose their favorite Republican or Democratic candidates. And we're here right now. Joining me in studio right now is Horst Schmidt and Melissa Davis. Of course, Melissa Davis, you know, is running for Houghton County Board of Commissioners in District 2, running unopposed for the Democrat nomination on Tuesday, but still giving us an opportunity to get to know her as she's going to be moving on and battling it out with Al Koskela in the November election. And Horst is joining us right now also to just talk about some of the general issues that are important to the Democrat Party and what they would like voters to know as well. So after all of that, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, well, let's start with you, Melissa. Of course, you are no stranger to this program. I've had you on numerous times over the last few years, your involvement with the Houghton Energy Efficiency Team, and now you're moving into a new arena with local politics. So first question I usually ask is, what background or experience do you have in serving in public office?
I'm the managing director of a nonprofit. It's a 501c3, and to answer your question, I have not held public office before, but definitely have a spirit of service to the public. So, and I think that is a really strong suit and something that's important to have before you go into office is that concern for the people around you, which will become your constituents,
Yeah. Was there any particular issue that sort of, gave you that motivation that you wanted to be a part of the decision-making process?
Well, naturally, I'm all interested and concerned about energy. So I guess I want to back up and say that I was asked to run.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't have thought of doing it on my own. And the person that asked me then offered to run my campaign. And so it was a pretty easy choice if somebody's willing to do that much work. And I'm willing to do the work as well, but it's logistically and organizationally kind of a giant thing. And the Democrats have been just amazing the way how organized the Democratic Party is and how they rally. But back to your question, it seems like the way that it's rolling out, the reason it was suggested to me is because I do have that strong energy background, so. This could be a place and a situation where we could do better things for Houghton County. And so, I guess I'm going to just come right out and admit that I do have an energy agenda.
Okay.
And that's it seemed like a good fit. So,
all right. Well, what would you like to see happen, about that? Of course, we know what you were pushing for energy efficiency, but from a county level perspective, mm-hmm. What can you do?
Well, municipalities have the most power and strength in the whole constitutional structure of the whole United States. So at the county level, choices could be made that do benefit the residents directly. And I think that in a lot of cases, the Board of Commissioners has so much on their plates that they keep it going and they do a fine job of making sure that we have all the services that we really, just come to expect and don't really think that much about. But on the other hand, there are things that could happen at the county level, and I have ideas that I'd like to see the county making more money. And so I think that with a smart energy project, we could make more money for our roads and more money for the things that are kind of getting, that kind of got knocked down by the flood, really. Mm. Just for one really easy example. Yeah.
Well, can you explain that a little further, what a smart energy project is?
Well, it's something that I'm sort of slow walking because I don't want to overwhelm people. And when people ask me that question, I automatically start to stutter because the idea is so big that it's really hard for me to focus on where to start. But one of the things that I did before I got asked to run is I started going to all the townships and the planning commissions and the city councils, like Houghton City Council's Planning Commission. And I've kind of recruited one person off of each of their boards and each of their committees to meet with me and as a group once a month to explore what's happening and to educate ourselves what's happening with the energy situation and then to also explore what sort of ideas could happen. So so I'm sort of working with people and vetting it with people that are in positions of making good decisions for their constituents and doing it at the really the representational system with people from each of the townships. And a lot of that is getting familiarizing them with what could happen, what is happening. So with that, in my opinion, like a super duper idea would be to come up with some kind of generation that doesn't conflict with our utilities business model one iota, but could be something that perhaps the utility could get behind and help with. But there are a lot of ways that you can use woody biomass and optimize it with wind and solar to come up with a generation project that actually makes money, that would be a business that would have a lot of revenue streams that would make good money and provide a lot of jobs. So, and I'd like to vet that with at the county level with the people, you know, everybody around. And finally, I'd like to finish this monologue off.
Go right ahead.
Saying that I think it would really be fantastic to use our technology to come up with a way for people to actually weigh in on these different ideas online from their couches so that they can learn about them and then they can express their opinions about them so that it becomes more of a dialogue between constituents and government to vet a good idea and to get support for it and then also to see if that's what people really want to do. And then if it is, go for it. So that's like my grand vision.
Well, it's definitely well versed. So I know our neighbors over at Barragán County, they have more of those initiatives that go on as far as local power and alternative energy. Do you look over there sometimes for some ideas or just, you know, some of what we could probably do?
Well, are you specifically talking about Lance's utility?
Well, you know, Lance's has their own utility, and they have the solar project. Yeah. It's not, you know, they're talking about a wind project. I guess it won't really help out the residents of Barragán County, but it's there. It's an option. And some other things that they look at.
To actually go that step of forming a utility is a really, seems to me like a really flash point or a hot button, and it's not like, I think that it could be done without having to do that. I think that we could come up with a generation project that, like I was saying, doesn't necessarily need to go to that length.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You said that you had a chance to attend many of the meetings. Of course, you come to the Houghton County Board meetings. Issues that they're dealing with right now, of course, a big one is always, everybody's always talking about the jail. Do you find yourself, you know, forming an opinion on some of the other big topics?
Well, like you're talking about the jail, we arranged a tour, and I got a good look at what's happening over there. And I know that initiative is coming online this fall where the residents of Houghton County will be able to vote once again. This will be the third time or the fourth time? Third time.
Third time it's come up, yeah.
Yeah, and when we were there, the sheriff and the deputies were telling us that I think 95% of the people that are in jail were there from drug-related offenses. And so I want to circle back with them to find out how many of them are marijuana versus like prescription versus like, you know, heroin, because if it comes on the state ballot that there's recreational marijuana becomes law, then they're going to be letting a whole lot of people out of jail, I think. So I mean, that's more research I'm going to do on it. And then so that's like, I just wanted to like touch base on the jail. And when you think about other issues, I wonder what you have in mind.
Well, I'm not running for office.
Well, it seems like there's always like one focal point, and that one is the jail. And as far as like privatizing the medical care facility, honestly, I don't think that's a great idea. I watched privatization of medical care. Okay, Portage and everybody. I just watched the quality kind of disintegrate when it becomes for profit as opposed to really supporting the people and the patients. So, and that concerns me.
All right. Another topic that does come up is whether or not the county can institute some sort of countywide recycling. The cities seem to be doing a very good job. Of course, you can bring in items, you can bring them in, but there's no curbside, there's no, you know, pickup recycling at all. It's a cost issue for the most part. Is that something you would like to see the county get behind?
You know, I do. I would. And I've done some research on that, too. I read this great book called Garbage Land, talking about the actual profits that do come from recycling, not necessarily diverting the original resources into the fresh new products, but you know, I'm not necessarily against that by any means, but the bottom line is that when you recycle, it does save money on the actual products that are recycled. And then also, here's another energy thing. You know, they're talking about not recycling glass within the next year, because for some, you know, it's like so heavy, hard to ship. At least this is what I hear. And in Marquette, they've quit recycling it already. If you had a combined heat and power plant, you could like pull that glass into one place and melt it down here, and then start to figure out ways to add value or ship that out. So what I look at that as a, just from the very beginning, I haven't really done a ton of research on it, as a potential for like creating more jobs and making that, recycling it down here instead of like shipping it, obviously, hours and hours and miles and miles.
Okay. And all right, well, I have a feeling as I go over to Horst here, you're going to think of a whole bunch of other ones that you want to touch on. I'm going to give you another opportunity, so don't, you know, we won't cut you off. But I want to give a chance to talk with Horst a little bit, because there's, of course, the voters, when they go over the ballot box on Tuesday, they're going to be looking at a number of candidates. Of course, on the Democrat side, there's not as many races in the primary. And so let's first talk, just get your opinion on Scott Diana. We know him well. He's moving on, term limited out of the House, and is now looking to replace Tom Casperson, who is now not running again. And so he's the Democrats' horse in this race come November.
And I think you're right, because Scott has really worked hard over the last 8 years. I remember when he had his original campaign, I kept getting postcard after postcard from him in the mail, you know, and he, you know, and this has continued as he puts on, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles trying to make sure that he covers every area in his current district, plus the district that he would like to be a senator for. So it's working really hard. He's attempting to put out a message that says it's not just jobs, it's jobs and families, and the fact that they need the support in order to be able to make sure that they thrive rather than just surviving on by the hair of their teeth, so to speak.
Now, with Scott, of course, being from Calumet and serving as our state representative here for the last few terms here, so is his popularity the same once you move out of this area, because the 38th District, of course, encompasses more than just the Western UP?
Well, I think you know, Scott has that kind of expansive personality that makes people respond in a positive fashion to him, you know, because he's always carrying the same message, you know, jobs, families, you know, get developing skills so that people have the ability to stay up here and get good paying jobs.
How closely is the statewide Democrat Party looking at this as a, you know, is this is a seat that could possibly be flipped if Scott was able to win it? It would go from a Republican to a Democrat.
Well, I think the party is keeping an eye on it, and I suspect they probably are putting in some money in order to help his campaign because of the sheer distances that he has to travel throughout the district. And, you know, of course, that's even a greater problem with our congressional candidate, Matt Morgan, who's I just found out we have the largest district in the country for a U.S. representative. And so... So he has to travel even more miles than Scott does, and that just makes his job more difficult. And of course, because of a glitch, he has to run as a write-in in order to be able to be on the November ballot. So if people wish to have him as their representative, we encourage you on August 7th to write him in the Democratic column.
Okay. People need to do that if they're in the primary. Is it really an issue?
What is that?
To write him in the primary.
It's not an issue.
I mean, I guess unless there was some very, very popular writing candidate,
yeah.
People can still do that. They have that option.
Right. I mean, as long as if you vote the Democratic column and the House of Representative part is blank, so you have to put in Matt Morgan and do the little thing between the spaces to make sure that your vote counts.
Okay.
And so the main thing is that people not switch between parties, then that invalidates their ballot. The other thing I wanted to mention is October 5th is the last day you can register in order to be able to vote for the November, in the November election. I think people know that, and we know that a bigger factor these days is the absentee ballots, which are have increased in volume, and also we're having more and more people looking at starting their campaigns earlier in order to catch that vote, because it's like becoming a two-tier campaign at this point.
And of course, we're expecting Matt to be able to come out of that primary as the Democrat nomination for that office in November, and then he would be on the ballot in November, so that issue won't carry over to the next election. He won't
won't.
Past this primary. The third race is Ken Summers. This would be to replace Scott Dianda. I had a chance to have Ken Summers here on the show, so got a chance to know him quite a bit.
Right. I mean, Ken's a great guy, and as you know, he's a native of the Lawrence area, so that certainly helps his candidacy. And the other thing I want to mention is if our two candidates prevail, and Sarah Cambenzi in the Marquette area gets reelected to her seat in the House, then we'll have three Democratic representatives in the state legislature this time around, which is a new high at this point.
Hmm. Well, okay. So if in November, let's just give, for the sake of argument, so if Morgan was to win, and then you hold on to the representative seat, and then if you take the state senator seat with Dianda, the entire Upper Peninsula being, or this side anyways, being represented by Democrats when all but one county went Republican in the last election, would that surprise you if there was that big of a flip?
Well, it would not surprise me, but it certainly would make me very happy.
I'm sure it would be happy.
And my math is off. If Morgan wins, it'll be four mm-hmm. For the region.
Yeah. Well, it would seem like an uphill battle based on what we saw 2 years ago. But again, there has been a lot of change in the political arena in that 2 years, so we'll see what happens when that time comes. Issues-wise, what's important to these candidates as a whole?
Well, as a whole, as I mentioned earlier, it's jobs, families being able to thrive in terms of healthcare and education, and developing skills training throughout the region so that people are able to get the kinds of jobs that allow them to stay here and not have to migrate elsewhere, because we want to stem the flow from the UP. We want us to grow a little bit so that we have a good population base. And the other thing that's important here is tourism. I think that's really a major player. It doesn't provide the same kind of income, but I think for a lot of people who are starting out, it's a great way to have a summer job to pay for your education, and also for people to be able to see that there's a future for them as they move up the skills ladder.
It's been introduced twice over the last few years, and that's a Democrat plan to provide tuition for many students to be able to go to college, certainly community college, perhaps even some four-year universities as well. Would that be something that you think that this batch would be behind if we see such a big flip?
I would think so, because the whole idea is that we make education affordable so that people are able to get into college and stay in college and get that degree. Whereas if you're worried about how you're going to pay that $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 at the end of your term, it just overwhelms people. And we have such a huge student loan debt in this country, it really doesn't make any sense. When I went to school, I only had to pay 25% of what it cost for tuition. And now it's reversed. It's 75% is owned, the students back, and 25% is covered by the state. And the whole idea is we really shouldn't penalize people who want to get an education, because the payback is so much better than anything that it costs us. It's an investment, you know, and it pays off. And it certainly is similar to trying to look at it as we give tax subsidies to business. Why not give tax subsidies to students?
Okay. I want to jump back over here to Melissa to give her a chance to close out the interview. And one of the questions I usually ask, especially for somebody running for the county level, is that how much do you think it makes a difference whether somebody who is running, you know, is Democrat or Republican? Is there a big difference between, you know, what people stand for and what they vote for on the county level?
Honestly, in my opinion, no. And I think that as we look at what's happening at the national level, we get all distracted by a lot of the stuff that's sort of jaw-dropping that we hear and see. And I think that it's sort of we lose our effectiveness if we identify with all that too much and we don't just focus on what's right in front of us, because whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, we do have common interests that are right here in the community that we live in. So working together on that is more important than anything, in my opinion. And, you know, I've also heard it said that really Democrat, what your party affiliation isn't that key at the county level. Other people seem to think that as well.
You mentioned something earlier that stuck out to me, and that when you were talking about getting feedback from the residents of Houghton County and using
the internet.
That thing called the internet. Using technology and because it's very underutilized at our county level right now to create that sort of interaction with the residents and to be able to put information out. And it sounds like that, you know, certainly that's something you've had to deal with and use quite a bit, you know, in your current position.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I understand it pretty well.
So what are some ways that we could do that?
First, I want to say that I'm not the only one that of the three women that are running for office. Transparency is pretty high priority for all three candidates, which is kind of nice. But several ideas have been floated. Some of the more obvious ones are to take the county commission actual meetings and have a screen up so that the people that are at the meeting can see what's being discussed and, you know, some of the documents that are being discussed. And another idea was to have the packet be available on the county's website. And then if you want to take that a little bit further, in my opinion, we could use some IT on the website and get a page or two up there that talks about that, you know, has the issues that they can be also, I'm going to back up and say that these meetings could also be videotaped and hosted on the website, but also that people could be interviewed to give descriptions of what the issues are, and then there can be forums where people type in their thoughts and comments, or there could also be polls that we take so that we can get a sense for where people what people's opinions are about resolutions to different problems, and then it gives you this more real-time feedback loop where you can see as things change. I mean, what's the pulse of the moment. Although, you know, the only weakness and all that is that I'm just going to give a little example. I've been working with this flood, and we've been working down in Hubble, and one of the first things I did was put on a form on our website to just, because I knew that communicating with these people as we went forward was going to be pretty important, and 180 people signed up for it, but only 110 of them actually are online. So, I mean, then that comes to being that third of the population that actually isn't going to interact in that way. But it, as you look at the expense of it, it could be that once you have those two-thirds that actually are interacting online, you can, like, figure out who the other ones are and then send them some sort of paper replica that they could also, if they're interested, send it back and, you know, say how they feel about these things. And it would cost a little bit of money, but I think for the investment, it would be well worth it, because a lot of people look at the county and don't know what the county does. Sorry, county, but it's kind of a fact. And also, so I guess while I'm there, I want to wrap up and say that I'm in District 2 running, which is Schoolcraft, I just went over these in my head. Hold on a second. It's Osceola, Torch Lake, Schoolcraft, Quincy, and Franklin. So if you're in any of those townships, that's District 2.
If somebody does want to learn more about you or follow your campaign, and what are the best ways to do that?
I have a Facebook page, Melissa Davis for Houghton County Commissioner. Also, there's a website, Davis for HOCO. And so either of those things, is, or just like give me a call.
Okay.
Talk to me, yeah.
Okay. Contact yep. number on your Facebook yep. page? Gotcha. Yep. All right. I guess it's been Melissa Davis and Horst Schmidt. So we close out this segment of Copper Country Today. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rick.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.